Stand Up for the Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate.
This is Stand Up for the Truth, a packed hour of challenging discussion addressing important issues and topics affecting Christians across the nation. Join the conversation via email at comments@standupforthetruth.com. Now, David Fiorazzo.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of Stand Up for the Truth. We appreciate your prayers. And as one of the ministries that is still going, I want to say going strong, praise God, we're healthy. We're overcoming spiritual warfare. And God is continuing to move, you know. And I know a lot of people, their schedules have been flipped upside down. Fortunately, here it's really strange. It's business as usual, meaning we're just as busy as ever. So keep us in your prayers, and we just appreciate your support, financial support as well, as we enter a very uncertain time as a nonprofit. As many of our friends and nonprofit ministries across the country are, this is by faith, right? That's why we do this. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll open up today's special guest. We're talking about persecution today, and it's a really important topic. We have to be remembering to cultivate that eternal perspective. Father in heaven, we ask that you'd help us do that right now. Help us, Lord, with our outlook. Help us not to be so focused on our refrigerator and electric bill and our paycheck and everything else, the IRS and whatever, getting, you know, gas and groceries. Help us understand, Lord, that you are sovereign and in control, and the whole world is affected in some way by this virus and what's going on now. And we know, Lord, there are brothers and sisters in Christ in countries around the world that need our support and prayers. And God, help us. Help us to see your perspective on all this as we care about the hearts of men and women, and as we seek to share your word and the love that a lot of people aren't feeling right now. Help encourage them, Lord. In Jesus' name, bring more people to you during this time and help them to look up when they run out of answers. And Lord, help us to point them to Jesus and to the truth. We praise you for this day. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we trust you in all things, Lord. Help us not just to say that. Help us to live that out in our lives, Lord. We cast all of our anxieties, burdens, and cares over on you, the one true living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, even in the midst of a worldwide pandemic and a virus threatening our health and way of life, outside the United States, Christianity is, believe it or not, increasing outside America. And the gospel is being preached in the face of severe opposition. The underground church grows in spite of very real government threats. Now, there are practical ways we can help our persecuted family in Christ. And Todd Nettleton says one of the best things we can do is pray for them. He is today's guest. Todd is with Voice of the Martyrs. He's the Director of Media and Public Relations for VOM USA and also host of VOM Radio. And we welcome him back again to get an update on the persecuted church and to open up our perspective. Welcome back to Stand Up for the Truth, Todd.
Thank you very much. It's always good to be with you.
All right, I've got so much I want to get to, but first, how you say you before we got on the air that you are at home working at your home office. How has this affected VOM? And I don't know how big of a staff you have there. Have you been doing, conferences online just meetings like that? How has this affected you personally?
Well, the biggest impact for Voice of the Martyrs is just the lack of ability to travel. You know, we have our international staff, what we call field leaders, who oversee our work in a specific country, they're on the road typically 90 to 100 nights a year in the countries where they work. They're meeting with Christians. They're meeting with church leaders. They're evaluating, you know, how can we help the church? What are the needs here? And so not being able to get on a plane and go to those places is a huge shift in how they are working. We can still do phone calls. We can still do emails. We can still do video conferencing online. But the other thing that that's being impacted is so many of the countries where we work are also on some form of lockdown or some form of shelter in place. And so our staff on the ground in those countries is not able to go out to the village and meet with a pastor who's just been persecuted. And so it is having an impact, but our work continues. I heard last weekend from our international vice president that a large shipment of Bibles had just been delivered into a restricted nation, and that work is going forward. So the work goes on. It just sort of changes how it looks in this sort of time of coronavirus.
Are there any staff maybe from VOM or other outlets that you are aware of that are stuck in certain countries and can't get out or can't get back to America?
There are no VOM staff that are stuck. Okay. I don't know of other countries. I know I saw the announcement from the State Department earlier this week that said to American citizens around the world, basically said, hey, if you're planning to come back to America, you need to do it right now because we can't guarantee a month from now or 2 months from now that we'll be able to get you home. So that has not affected VOM at this point in time. Thankfully, our staff is home. And so we're very thankful for that.
Well, praise God for that. Now, I want to ask you about this packet I just received in the mail yesterday. This is really good timing for this interview, Todd. The Voice of the Martyrs, April 2020 edition, special Bible issue, God's Word Unbound. And there's an opportunity to write a note to prisoners also to be smuggled inside a Bible into North Korea. I went online and I'm going, well, look at what are they doing? They've got these big, big balloons. It looks like they're filled with small Bibles. Tell us about this new effort, Todd.
Well, this is a very cool thing. And one of the things that we really try to do at Voice of the Martyrs is help American Christians directly connect with the work that's going on in hostile and restricted nations. So we love opportunities where people, it's great when people write checks, and that's wonderful. We are very thankful for that. But we'd like to do something where you can be more directly involved. And this Bible project is one of those things. We have a note in there, and it shows in Korean how to write the words, God is real. And those will then be, you'll send those back to us here in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. We will get them to South Korea to our VOM Korea office. They will put them inside of a Bible in Korean that is then goes in one of those balloons and gets launched across the border into North Korea. One of the things, and it explains in the documentation, but, you know, we begin sort of presenting the gospel in America with the words, God is love. Hey, God loves you. You should know more about him. In Korea, the gospel starts with God is real because North Koreans are taught that God is Kim Il-sung, the founder of North Korea. He is a God. And so the gospel doesn't start with God loves you or God is love. It starts with God is real. There is a real God. It is not Kim Il-sung, and you need to know him. So that's why the words are God is real, specifically targeting the mindset of North Koreans. But like you say, this is a great way for people to be able to get involved in a very practical and real way. And, you know, something that you wrote is going to float across the border into North Korea. That's pretty cool.
That's amazing. And I'm looking at this picture inside here where these balloons are about, I don't know, how big are they? It looks like maybe 6 foot, you know, wide, and they've got the Bibles in the bottom. And there's even a little picture here. There's a GPS tracker inside to track where it ends up.
Yes, the balloons are, yeah, probably, it's like a large tube, and so it's about 6 feet around, but it's like 20 feet high, and thankfully I've been to South Korea, I've been on one of these balloon launches. In fact, we got our balloon launch halted by some South Korean Marines who were not very happy that we were that close to the North Korean border launching balloons, but we do use GPS trackers to be able to show, okay, where is this coming down? Because we want to know, we want to pray, and we want to be able to show our donors and our supporters, hey, yes, this really happens. This balloon really did get into North Korea. couple of interesting things. Part of the reason we know this works is because we know how the North Korean government responds to the balloon launches. They respond with a lot of anger. We have reports of them mobilizing their military to go out and destroy the payload of the balloons, destroy the Bibles, make sure those are all burned, make sure they don't get into anybody's hands. So they're mobilizing the military against these balloon launches. The other thing they're doing is threatening. They have sent press releases. They have sent stories to South Korean papers threatening South Korea. If the balloon launches don't stop, one of them, my favorite, is they said, we're going to turn South Korea into a sea of fire. If you don't stop these balloon launches, we're going to turn your country into a sea of fire. In some of those cases, they have specifically mentioned Voice of the Martyrs. So
Wow. We
know they're aware of our balloon launches. We know they must be working because they're making the North Korean government mad.
Hey, Todd, I know this might be a silly question, but I'm looking at a map inside there, a little map of the border there, North and South Korea. How do the balloons not come back your way into South Korea? How do you know they're going to go? Because there's nothing to direct them but the wind, right?
It is only the wind. And the answer to that lies with the weather patterns and the wind patterns. There are only certain months of the year where we do balloon launches because the prevailing winds are going north and
okay.
to the south. And
wow.
so they follow the weather data like scientists. they are very serious. They have very high level modeling and being able to show, okay, here on this day the winds are going to be this way. Last year, actually, the winds were not good in 2019, and it's interesting because Eric Foley, the president of VOM Korea, came on our Voice of the Martyrs radio broadcast and said, you know, the winds haven't been good. Can you guys pray that the winds will be better? We need God's help to be able to launch these because if the winds are blowing the wrong way, it just doesn't work. And our Voice of the Martyrs radio listeners prayed, and they were able to get thousands of balloons up in the air within about a 6-week period after that broadcast and after those prayers. So it is dependent on the wind direction, and they monitor that, like I say, like a hardcore scientist, they Jeez. Monitor the weather data.
Amazing. One more question before we turn our attention to China. I'm looking at inside the April 2020 edition of Voice of the Martyrs. I'm seeing these pictures of donkeys weighed down with these loads of, I'm guessing, Bibles and other Christian materials in there. And I just can't help but think that this is the week where we celebrate that Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem as he himself got on top of a donkey and a beast of burden and rode into the city. And I know you've had interesting donkey stories in the past, but do you have anything recent that you've heard of using these donkeys to go into these restricted nations? And anything you can tell us about that?
Well, you know, we do use every means available. When you talk about we're launching balloons into North Korea, we're using donkeys. There's a picture in this newsletter of camels loaded up with Bibles.
Yeah.
So depending on the country, we are using every possible
wow.
means available. But yes, donkeys, camels, balloons, airplanes, boats, the tide. We also, as it relates specifically to North Korea, they release packages into the ocean when the tides are moving the right direction to take them into shore in North Korea.
Wow.
So it is, there are a lot of creative ways to get the gospel into a closed nation. And over the last 52 years, Voice of the Martyr has explored the very edges of creativity to get those Bibles in.
And again, the website, persecution.com. Let's look at China. Todd, by the way, this is Todd Nettleton with Voice of the Martyrs, and a very important point that you made that I alluded to in the introduction, that no matter what's happening around us and around the world, persecution of Christians does not stop. Go ahead and talk to us about China.
Well, you know, we know that the coronavirus began in China, and it would be nice to think that the Chinese government was so focused on fighting against the virus that they didn't have any time left to persecute Christians. Unfortunately, that's not the case. In fact, Just this week, I got video of another church in China that has been destroyed and demolished. We also know last month, the religious affairs authorities in Shandong province issued a new guideline for church meetings. They are again reminding the authorities there, no illegal church meetings in person. But then they also added no online preaching of the gospel. So just like many American churches right now are going to Facebook Live, or they're going to some form of online meeting because we can't all meet together, the Chinese church is also doing that because of the virus, but also because of persecution. Hey, our church building has been closed down. Let's meet in this chat room on Sunday. The Shandong religious affairs authorities are now saying, no, 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 you cannot preach the gospel online. That is illegal as well. We know, I was in China several years ago, and they had just announced the hiring of 35,000 internet policemen in China.
Oh, my goodness.
And so when they say, we don't want you to preach online, they're not just saying, hey, don't do this. They have specific online policemen who are watching for this type of activity and hoping to shut it down.
Wow. And they are enforcing that. And my goodness, we take our freedoms for granted so much here in this country. I think sometimes it's hard not to, but when we hear stories like this, my goodness, they are watching everything you do, aren't they?
They are watching everything. And, you know, the Chinese government is technologically advanced. They have surveillance cameras all over the country. Here's a good news story about the virus. Well, there's at least one group of Christians in China that we have heard from that said, hey, you know what? Everyone right now is wearing masks in China because of the virus. And you know what else? Those surveillance cameras, that facial recognition technology, it doesn't work as well when everyone's wearing masks. So guess what? We can be more bold. We can be more open about witnessing for Christ without worrying about the cameras watching us because everyone's wearing masks so they can't see us as well. So even in the midst of the virus, there are Christians who are saying, hey, this is an opportunity. We can be more bold now than we would normally be because of the virus and because of everyone wearing masks.
Fascinating. Wow. Just a neat story there, Todd. I know you wanted to mention an unnamed Muslim country. You didn't want to mention specifics for security reasons, but you have some information also about how it's being affected by the coronavirus or what's happening over there.
Well, this is another case where Christians in this country, which is a very closed country, are seeing coronavirus as an opportunity. And I hope as our American Christian listeners hear these stories, they're like, wait a minute, maybe there's some opportunities that are out there for us. But the Christians in this particular country have said, hey, this is an opportunity for us to serve those in need. And so they have been out on the streets handing out masks to people who need masks. They have been checking in on elderly friends and neighbors and people and saying, hey, do you need anything? Are you okay? Do you want me to go to the store so you don't have to go to the store? And, you know, when these people who are predominantly Muslims ask the question, well, why are you doing this? Aren't you afraid of getting the sickness? And they are able to say, you know what? I certainly don't want to get the virus, but I know where I'm going if I die. And the reason I know that is because of Jesus Christ. So they're saying, hey, again, this is a time of tragedy. This is a time when people are afraid, but we have an opportunity to be Jesus Christ, to show what it means to have peace, to show what it means to know where you're going to go when you die. And so they are seeing it as an opportunity, just as those brothers and sisters in China said, hey, we have an opportunity because of the masks. They're saying, hey, we have an opportunity to serve people extra because of the virus. Mm.
Wow, amazing. We've got to take a break, Todd, but I know you've got a lot more to share with us when we come back. We're going to be talking about Afghanistan, India, North Africa, and a whole lot more with Todd Nettleton of Voice of the Martyrs when we come back.
Your monthly financial support of StandUpForTheTruth.com is needed and appreciated. Now, back to today's Stand Up for the Truth with David Fiorazzo.
We're with Todd Nettleton, Voice of the Martyrs, and we are talking about all the different methods that VOM uses to get the Bible in people's hands, get the Word of God into the hands of people so that they might know Him and come to a saving faith in Jesus. Over in a North African nation, Todd, and maybe many others because of the coronavirus, things have kind of been shut down, but what can you tell us is happening over there?
Well, I sent out an email just about a week ago to our international staff and just said, hey, well, people are asking me, I'm being asked in the media, how is coronavirus affecting your ministry? And I got back some amazing emails, one from a Muslim nation in North Africa, and our partners there said, hey, we are on lockdown in our country. Everyone is being told, stay in your homes, stay in your houses, don't go out unless you absolutely have to. But So they said that, you know, a lot of our ministry that we do is going out to serve the needy, is having discipleship classes for new believers who have come from Islam to Christianity. We're not able to do any of those things, but our ministry is going on. They said their contacts with people by their website, by social media, from Muslims who are asking questions about the gospel, they said those numbers have skyrocketed since everyone is locked in their house. And I think, you know, there's two reasons for that. I think there's a hunger right now because of the uncertainty. I also think people have maybe more privacy. There is a certain amount of shame in a Muslim culture for a Muslim to ask about Jesus, to ask about Christianity. But if you're in your house and you're not around anyone else, you don't have to worry about what they're going to think about you asking these questions. And I think that's part of the reason that they're seeing this great online ministry, lots of questions, lots of inquiries during this time of crisis.
You said shame, and I guess we don't typically think of that as a reason they would not ask about Jesus. We think, wow, it must be out of fear that they don't want to say anything. But you said shame. Can you explain that a little bit?
I had a great guest who talked about this on Voice of the Martyrs Radio, but the honor-shame culture that dominates the Middle East, it's interesting because it is the culture that Jesus himself was born into and lived in and saw. But there is that sense of, when I do something wrong, it doesn't just reflect on me, it reflects on the people around me. It reflects on my parents. It reflects on my brothers and sisters. It reflects on my tribe or my clan or the people around me. And in most of these Muslim communities, to leave Islam would bring great shame. It would be one of those things that's like, how mom and dad, how did you manage to raise a child that would leave Islam behind and follow Jesus Christ? What kind of parents were you? That would make the parents ashamed. It would make so. When there is that culture, and there's a lot more togetherism in some of these cultures, it is not so individualistic as American culture. And so that is a huge thing in the minds of these people is, you know, I love Jesus, I love what he says, but if I follow him, it's going to bring shame on my family. It's going to bring shame on me. How do I deal with that shame? So that's a mindset, and like you say, for Americans, that is so foreign to us. It almost, we really have to work to try to understand that. But in the Middle East, in Islamic cultures, that's reality. That they live in that every single day.
Interesting. Hey, Todd, can we go back for a couple minutes to North Korea? Because that's where we started talking about these balloons being sent into North Korea with Bibles in them. But you sent me some notes and mentioned that they're not really telling the whole truth about the COVID-19 cases in North Korea. What do you know about that?
They are not. It's interesting because the official line from the North Korean government is, we do not have any virus cases inside North Korea. But then sort of under the table, they are also reaching out to other governments saying, hey, could you send us ventilators? Could you send us medical help? Because, you know, so it's kind of like, hey, we don't have any cases, but we need some help to deal with coronavirus. Here's an interesting thing. And we talked about the Bible launches that are going into North Korea. We got a letter, our sister office in Seoul got a letter from a North Korean who received one of those Bibles. They in their case, it was an audio Bible that came in through the balloon launches.
Wow.
They said, I receive hope of living as I am praying. The virus situation in Pyongyang, which is the capital city, and in Sinuiju, which is along the China border, is more serious. I think we will all die from starvation or being infected. Both are deadly and cause despair. But after knowing him, God, my fear has vanished.
Oh, my goodness.
We truly thank you again. So, again, we track on GPS how those balloons go. We also, on occasion, get a letter like this that says, yes, the Bibles are reaching North Korea's people, and they are providing a great sense of encouragement and hope.
Wow. That's a great reminder, Todd, to pray for people in North Korea and in China who they may be having a bigger issue with coronavirus than the world might ever know. And we might find out when it's too late, but pray that more people hear about the Lord, get these Bibles, and just to receive the word of God. Let's go over to Laos. You wanted to talk about there.
Well, Laos is one of the countries where it is affecting our ability to respond. We heard within the last couple of weeks of three Christian families in a village in Laos who were kicked out of the village. Basically, the village elders came to them and said, listen, we don't have any Christians in our village. We are not going to have any Christians in our village. Do you still want to be Christians? And these three families stood strong for Christ. They said, hey, we are followers of Christ. We're not going to leave Jesus behind. And so they were kicked out of their homes. They were kicked out of the village. And they are living sort of in hiding right now in the jungle. And we would love to get some help to them. But Laos is on complete lockdown. People are not allowed to move from village to village. Our staff there is not allowed to move around. And so that's one of the things we're asking people to pray, that we'll be able to get some help to these three families, because this is one of the things that absolutely the virus is affecting our work, because nobody can move around in Laos, and so we can't get help to them quickly as we normally would.
By the way, if you want to send us an email, comments@standupforthetruth.com. Todd, India also is locked down, and you say that day laborers who literally work every day to earn money for that night's meal, they're going to be dramatically affected by this lockdown, depending on how far it goes. What do you know about India?
Well, this, like you say, the day laborers is a big thing. Prime Minister Modi has declared 21 days, so 3 weeks of complete lockdown.
Wow.
Basically, all 1 billion plus Indians are being told, stay in your house for 3 weeks.
Wow.
The day laborers are people who go out, maybe they go to the market or they go to the bus center in the morning, and farmers come by and say, hey, come work in my field today, or come work in my factory today, come help me move rocks today. So at the end of the day, they get some money for that day's work. They go and buy their dinner.
Wow.
And then they go home and sleep, and they start again the next day.
Mm.
So imagine if they're told, for 21 days, you need to stay in your house. No labor, no money, which you count on to buy your food every day. How are those people going to survive? So there's a lot of questions. India is another country where our staff is having trouble moving around right now because of this lockdown. They're not able to go out to the villages and meet with pastors, meet with Christians. And so India is a country that the world is watching closely. In fact, I saw just this morning the New York Times has a story about how Prime Minister Modi's government is impacting the media there and sort of tightening up the controls on how the media coverage is. So India is a place with a lot of persecution. It's a place where the coronavirus now has led to a lockdown. And I hope it's a place that is near the top of our prayer lists as Christians, because it's a place where our brothers and sisters are going through a lot right now.
Yes, and another reminder to pray for those who may be threatened by starvation and just not getting enough food during this time. That could be a worldwide issue as well. Todd, unrelated to the coronavirus, there's three countries that we'd love for you to share an update on. Let's start with Afghanistan.
you know, Afghanistan and the United States, the Taliban and the United States signed a peace agreement within the last month. The goal is an end to the war. The goal is bring the U.S. troops home. I had a chance to sit down with John Weaver, who lived in Afghanistan, served in Afghanistan for many years as a gospel worker, and just kind of asked him, hey, well, what does this mean? What does this peace agreement mean? He said, you know, Afghans pray for peace. They want peace. They have been at war for so long, and the people there are desperate for peace. But he said that there's a couple things you have to remember about this. Number one, the elected government of Afghanistan was not a part of these talks. This was the Taliban and the U.S. government. And the U.S. government said, hey, after we work things out, then we want the government of Afghanistan to do it as well. That's going to be complicated. They're actually last month were identical two separate presidential inaugurations held at the same time with two different men who both said they had won the election and they were the president. So when you talk about the Afghan government coming into this process, the first question is, okay, well, who is the Afghan government? You've got two guys who both say they're the president. The other thing, and this is specifically from the viewpoint of our Christian brothers and sisters there, the Taliban is a radical Muslim organization. They do not believe that a Muslim should leave Islam and become a follower of Jesus Christ. So when you grant the Taliban more political power, when you grant them more of a seat at the table of how decisions are made for the entire country, our Christian brothers and sisters look at that and say, well, that can't be good news for us because the Taliban doesn't like us. They don't want the gospel to grow. Here's the good news, though. There are 34 provinces in Afghanistan. There are Christians. There are followers of Jesus Christ, our brothers and sisters, in every single one of those 34 provinces.
Wow.
So the church is growing. The gospel is expanding, but it's coming with a price. And one of the things that John shared with me as we had this conversation, and I think I hope this is another thing that will stick in the minds of our American Christian listeners. One of the most important conversations that a new Afghan believer will ever have in his life is the first time he tells someone close to him, I'm not a Muslim anymore. I'm not following Muhammad anymore. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Because that conversation could get him killed. It could also be an opportunity for the gospel to spread. And so John talked about how they think about and how they pray about, okay, who's the first person I'm going to tell that I'm a believer in Christ? How is that conversation going to go? I'm sure they play out the conversation in their mind maybe hundreds of times before they actually sit down to have that conversation. So one of the things I would encourage people to pray, and it's Afghanistan especially, but other Muslim countries as well, pray for new believers in Christ who are making the decision about that conversation. Who's the first person I'm going to tell about my faith in Jesus, and how am I going to tell them? How's that conversation going to go? Where are we going to have that conversation? When are we going to have it? Because like I say, that conversation can get you killed. It can also lead to an opportunity to share the gospel.
Amen. Todd, two more countries before we have to say goodbye. We're running out of time already. Let's talk about Iran.
Iran is a country that is heavily affected by the coronavirus. It's also a country where a man named Ibrahim Farouzi was just released late last year after serving a five-year prison sentence. Normally what happens when a Christian is released from prison, they're allowed to return home to their family. Sometimes they're allowed to leave the country and immigrate to the West. Ibrahim Farouzi was sent for 2 years of what they call internal exile. He was basically sent to a little town along the Pakistan border and told, hey, you're out of prison, yes, but you got to stay there for 2 years, and you need to check in every week with the local police and let them know what's going on. Ibrahim Farouzi was told last month that his 2 years of exile is now 3 years of exile. And the reason seems to be he had applied for permission to go and take care of some family business. And he said, hey, I just need a week or two to go take care of these things. Then I'll come back. I'll serve out my time in exile. he never heard a response after he asked about that. So he went ahead and took care of those family things. He left his place in exile. He went home to his family. Then he came back. When he came back, they said, hey, you broke the terms of your exile, so now we're going to add a year to your sentence. And so that's a frustrating thing for him. However, he is living his faith in Christ, even in exile. I saw an interview with him recently where he said even the local police have expressed respect for him. They see that he is a good man. They see that he wants to do the right thing. And so they are at least accepting of him, almost welcoming of him, even though he's in their city to sort of serve out this punishment.
Interesting. So his release wasn't really a release. He's in exile, and that's going to go on. It was extended by 11 months, you said, right?
Yeah, it's almost like house arrest, really. I mean, he's like, hey, you're out of prison, but you still can't go anywhere.
Right.
You still can't do what you want to do. And it's weird. That's unusual in Iran. In fact, this is the first time I've heard of this kind of case. So I'm curious to know what's behind that. But as you say, yeah, they've now extended it from 2 years to almost 3 years.
Out of prison, but not free.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Todd, we got to wrap it up with Malaysia real quick. We've got like two and a half minutes.
I want folks to pray for the case of Pastor Raymond Koh. Malaysia has just gone through a political upheaval. The one prime minister was forced out. A new prime minister has stepped in. We have talked about Pastor Raymond Koh before.
Yes.
I went and interviewed his wife, Susanna Koh. She is concerned. In fact, I've exchanged text messages with her just in the last few days. She's concerned about what's going to happen with the case because of this new prime minister. Is it going to get lost in the shuffle? Is there going to be any openness? This is a pastor who disappeared off the streets. He was kidnapped more than 3 years ago. Nobody has seen or heard from him since. So it is unknown where he is. It is unknown if he's alive or dead. And now with a new prime minister in place, it's unknown if the family's going to be able to get a hold of any kind of information or any kind of truth in his case.
And we even had video of the kidnapping. Is that right?
We have video of the kidnapping. And here's an interesting thing. Since the new prime minister has been taken office in the last couple of weeks, all of the major newspapers in Malaysia have taken that video down off of their website.
Of course.
As if they want this case to go away, as if maybe they want to be friendly with the government and so they don't want to offend. One of the things Susanna told me in one of her texts is, thank you, Voice of the Martyrs, for still having that video up on your website, because now it's one of the only places people can see it. The newspapers have taken it down. So, there is video of him being kidnapped. The Human Rights Commission in Malaysia has blamed it on the special branch of the police, the intelligence police, but nobody's been charged with a crime. Nobody's been held accountable. Wow. And still, 3 years later, nobody knows what happened to Pastor Raymond Koh.
So, Todd, there was once a petition for the Malaysian government to release Raymond Koh. Is that still available? Are people
still
signing?
There still is. ReleaseRaymond.com.
Okay.
ReleaseRaymond.com. You could sign that petition. You can also watch the video of the abduction there. And we've got an interview with Susanna that you can listen to and hear her story. Amazing story of faithfulness. She even says she saw God preparing Raymond before he was kidnapped. She saw his spiritual life deepening in the days and months before that.
Wow. We have that link up. We'll put that in today's podcast notes at standupforthetruth.com. Todd Nettleton, Voice of the Martyrs, always so informative. And thanks for reminding us of our perspective today, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me. It is always fun to be with you guys, and hopefully sometime in person again instead of from my home office.
That would be great. Thanks, Todd. Be safe. God bless you, brother. Thanks for your work.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we've got a couple articles and some recent headlines that you might be surprised about, and maybe not surprised if you talk about politics. But we will also be talking about the Korean Peninsula, very fascinating about the freedom, the discrepancy there, and more when we come back on Stand Up for the Truth.
Thank you for listening and sharing today's show via standupforthetruth.com/podcast. Now, back to Stand Up for the Truth. Here's David Fiorazzo.
If you pull up a satellite image of the Korean Peninsula at night, you will understand the stark contrast in the two countries, North Korea and South Korea, simply by seeing all the light and activity. And of course, South Korea is more of a Christian nation. You look at North Korea, and again, this is a satellite image at night, and it is just dark. Why? Well, you might think politics, you might think, well, Christianity, you might think electricity, but it's simpler than that. Freedom. Freedom. And we talked a little bit about that with Todd Nettleton, and they are having to send balloons with Bibles across the border in the hopes that North Koreans who are told there is no God and Kim Jong-un is the God. But anyway, fascinating image because South Korea is lit up, and it's very, very interesting just to see that stark contrast. So do that if you have a computer in front of you or whenever you get a chance. Google satellite image Korean Peninsula at night. Bringing it home to some headlines. First of all, I want to go over to a website I'm not going to mention because they're not a reputable news website anymore. But there is a headline over there that says what's happening economically in the country due to the coronavirus. Payrolls drop 701,000 in March. But notice this. It's the first jobs decline in 10 years. Let me say that again. It's the first jobs decline in 10 years. So the economy, we thank God we had some sort of strength going into this chaos we're now experiencing, but don't believe all the news, and we'll see where it goes from here. But I really wanted to get this information to you guys. I just got this in yesterday. So this is breaking news from the Wisconsin State Legislature. I got an email from Senator Andre Jock yesterday, 1st Senate District in Wisconsin. And this email or this document is to Secretary Designee Palm. Her name is Andrea Palm. The effects of COVID-19 and Wisconsin's response to it have undoubtedly caused great anxiety across our state. As legislative representatives of the people of Wisconsin, we write you with great concern over a double standard imposed within DHS Emergency Order Number 12, which is shelter in place, that contradicts reason and threatens the safety and well-being of Wisconsinites. Here we go. In the emergency order, you acknowledge that our state may not have the resources to combat COVID-19 in our communities and that everyone in Wisconsin must take all possible actions to reduce further spread of COVID-19 to save lives, end quote. However, abortion clinics are continuing to operate in Wisconsin, needlessly exposing people to the potential to contract COVID-19 and using precious medical resources that are needed elsewhere to save Wisconsinites. It is deeply disturbing to find out that many lower-risk businesses have been shuttered while you have given Wisconsin's abortion businesses special dispensation to remain in operation. And it mentioned several other states have ordered standalone abortion facilities to close. Doing everything reasonable and possible to slow the spread of COVID-19 in our communities must include fair implementation of orders to stop non-essential activities. We must not allow abortion clinics to put profit ahead of the public welfare and continue with these elective surgical procedures, which are now done at greater risk to the patient as well as community. And the letter ends up by saying it is and should be a basic expectation that these abortion centers close while Wisconsin is under a shelter-in-place order to assure our residents that you are not putting politics before their health and prioritizing Planned Parenthood's bottom line at the expense of our citizens' health. We therefore demand your immediate action to ensure a halt to the operation of abortion facilities in Wisconsin for the duration of the declared public health emergency. Sincerely, Senator Andre Jock, Alberta Darling, Chris Kapenga, Dave Craig, Scott Fitzgerald, Kathleen Brenner, Steve Nass, Roger Roth, Tom Tiffany, and it goes on down the list of the Wisconsin legislature that signed on to this. And we hope that they will take this seriously, and maybe the governor will step in, although he's in bed with Planned Parenthood, so don't expect anything from Tony Evers. But understand, this is happening state by state. Some states are fighting it. And in fact, in Texas, I believe the governor was just sued recently because he made an order to close the abortion businesses, the corporations there, including Planned Parenthood. They're suing him for that order. Why do you think that is? Is eliminating a human life in the womb an essential health, medical, scientific procedure? Well, that's what the media would tell us. But thank God for representatives like this who would put this letter out there and document this as an official response to the double standard of keeping abortion businesses open with the potential spread of the virus. Anyway, everyone else, Americans, Wisconsinites, doing everything they can, we can, and I'm sure in your state, wherever you're listening as well, to just be safe, common sense, precautions. But some people are not even going to the doctor. We interviewed Jen Markell yesterday over in Minnesota. She's not even seeing her doctor. I think she was going to do a FaceTime or a Skype interview or phone consultation, and she's got some health concerns. But there are people not even going to the doctor, and yet Planned Parenthood is funneling out. You know, women are going in, churning women in and out all day long, regardless of these health concerns. Anyway, I know I'm very passionate about that topic, and I can't stand double standards. So I just had to share that with you. Couple headlines now that I find to be not surprising. Where is it here? Teachers Union in Oregon is blocking children from transferring to charter schools, you know, private schools. Why? Because they want to be educated during this time. Online schools such as Freedom Project and others, John Nelson Darby Academy. There's a website I can give you. I've got an interview coming up next Wednesday with author, actress, homeschool advocate Sam Sorbo. And she made me aware of the Texas Homeschooling Organization that launched an emergency daily home education lesson plan. If you want to get a heads up on this before the interview next Wednesday, it's a COVID-19 daily home education plan. This is a great thing for people that can educate their kids at home. The website is coronavirushomeschooling.com. I know it's a long site, but it's coronavirushomeschooling.com. No space in between there. And you can get lesson plans to educate your kids, teach your kids at home. You are capable. You are able. So the Oregon Teachers Union, I'm sure we're going to see more leftist teachers unions from across the country fight kids from wanting to go to private schools, charter schools, homeschooling to try to get educated because the public school doesn't have a hold on them. There's a really funny meme that went out. I got to find this real quick while I have you guys, your undivided attention. No, I'm kidding. But there's this Babylon Bee. They put out this headline a couple days ago, and this was shared by Heidi St. John. The headline is, "Teachers urge government to reopen schools before students learn to think for themselves." I'm sorry. I just find that to be hilarious. oh, it's good. We can have fun during this, can't we? We can have fun. Okay, what's another headline? Okay, I've only got a minute. Shoot, I'm running out of time. So many headlines, so little time. The Democratic National Convention now will be pushed back a month from what I understand. And finally, this is not really a breaking news story remotely. But National Review and Daily Wire, Media Research Center, they've got all the stats. They keep track of these things. The mainstream media unjustly continue to attack President Trump on not only the fact that there's a coronavirus, but his response to it. Whatever he does, they think he should have done the opposite. Is that fair? There are some things that sometimes you got to swallow your pride and just say, you know what? I want the best interests of the people, of the government, of this nation, and I don't care who's in office. I want to pray for the protection of the lives of people and not try to politicize a pandemic. But that's what the Democrat media continue to do. So it's very, very sad. Be careful of your news sources. In fact, I got an email yesterday right when we got off the air saying, could you give me some news sources that I can trust? And I sent that out. I should probably do a show on that in the near future. I had a list of sources. I'm talking about like two or three dozen that I compiled about a decade ago. I would take about a handful off of there now, but there are still some very good media sources that you can go to for the truth generally, and you'll get balanced reporting. And maybe I will put that together. And if you just email me, comments@standupforthetruth.com, if you want me to forward those links to you and get you some decent sources that you can go to, because a Drudge Report, man, that I'm glad Jen Markell reminded us yesterday that it's been sold, because they are just like all about alarmism and sensationalism. Everything's about fright and fear. My goodness, they're selling headlines, aren't they? All right, when we come back, some exciting guests to tell you about next week on Stand Up for the Truth.
Stand Up for the Truth, a ministry of Lakeshore Communications Incorporated. Keep the discussion going on social media. Stand Up WI on Facebook and Twitter. Now, we wrap up today's Stand Up for the Truth.
All right. By the way, 40 Days for Life is wrapping up April 5th, which is Sunday. People are praying peacefully outside of Planned Parenthood abortion business and businesses across the country. If there's one in your city, if there's someone outside on the sidewalk, give them a honk or thumbs up if you're driving by. Chris Quintana. He's going to be with us on Monday. Can't wait to get his loaded take on what's happening in America between the government and coronavirus and the church's response. Patrick Wood is going to be back with us on Tuesday. Sam Sorbo is going to be here talking about homeschooling on Wednesday. And yes, that's Kevin Sorbo's wife. Kathy Barnett, author of Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain, Being Black and Conservative in America. Kathy Barnett is Thursday next week, and Good Friday, we're going to have Pastor and Dr. Andy Woods. A lot to get to. I'm excited about some of the guests coming up, a couple new ones the week following as well. Well, thank you, guys. Make sure to pray for churches to get the truth and the word out this weekend. It's, of course, we celebrated as Palm Sunday, but it's Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Very important that he was steadfast and undaunted in his approach to set his sights on the cross. And it started with that entry into Jerusalem through the Eastern Gate. Thank God he made it to the cross for the joy set before him, and he endured. Praise God. What a God we have to worship. Well, thank you again. Share, please, our podcasts on social media. And God bless you. Keep speaking the truth about things that matter. Stay healthy.